really love the Lord. Oh yes, and you don't know what he's done. Oh yes, he gave me the victory. Yes, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the Lord. Oh yes, and you don't know what he's done. Thank you, Lord. Oh yes, he gave me the victory. Yes, and that's why, yes, oh, I love him. You sound so good. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. It's good to be back home. Yes, it is. It's good to be back home. We've been away a couple of Sundays worshiping in Arkansas. I worshiped last week with the North Fort Bend Church of Christ, but there is no place like home. Amen. If you're visiting with us, you are honored guests, and thank you for being a part of our fellowship here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, the 8 o'clock service. If you're watching by way of television, by way of live stream, please stay with us this morning. We hope the Lord will allow us to speak to your heart. If you have a question, you need to talk to someone, you need someone to pray with you, if you call the number on your screen, we'll pray with you this morning. It's just good to be with the saints on the first day of the week. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Let us rejoice. You might as well rejoice. Amen. If you're here, you need to rejoice and be glad in it. Be glad in it. We've been studying the last few weeks, about maybe close to a month now, on Matthew chapter 25. And we hope to try to end this mini-series on Matthew 25, where Jesus gives two parables, one, the 10 virgins, and the main message is to be on alert, for Jesus is coming back. Amen. That's the main gist of that message, to be on alert, to be prepared. The second parable was on the talents. God has given all of us talents. While we're waiting on the Lord, we don't need to be sitting on our hands. We need to use what God has given us, because we will give an account to God of how we use our gifts, how we use our talents. And so those were the two parables. And then last Sunday that I preached on, we talked about the final judgment. All of this is in Matthew chapter 25. It's one of Jesus's last dissertations before he goes to the cross. Do you think it was important? Yeah. Anybody's final words ought to be important. Your moms, your dad, whoever, somebody, people that love you. We try to say things that we know that's going to count. And so this last part of Matthew 25, he talks about the final judgment, and it's for everybody. It's, you know, some context of scripture there for a certain group, sometimes the singles, but this is for everybody, the final judgment. And for time's sake, we don't have time to review it. But I think the last time we spoke, we were going to talk about the final exam, and that is the title of today's lesson. You ready to dive into this? Yes. Let's dive into the Word of God. Matthew 25. Brother Hugh began at verse 34. I'm going to go to verse 31 to make a point. Matthew 25, verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, I love that. When Jesus comes back, it's going to be in his glory. We talked about that for a moment. It's going to be a glorious day. He's going to come in his glory. It's going to be a glorious day, but it's not a glorious day for everybody. But when Jesus comes, everybody going to see him. And like nothing ever you've seen before, he will come. Then the scripture says, and all the angels with him. It seems like God is going to empty heaven. And when Jesus comes, don't your scripture say all? It says all the angels. We know that Jesus could have called 12 legions of angels when they were about to put him to death, but he didn't call them. He stayed on the cross and died for us. We don't know exactly how many angels there are, but the scriptures say all of them go. If I say everybody, you all get $1 million if everybody come up here to get it. You would understand that, wouldn't you? Yeah. But gee, yeah, you'd understand. You would come up here in a cane if you had a wheelchair, if everybody gonna get it. Yeah. Mm. Says all the angels with him. Then he will sit on his glorious. I need to explain something. This is for the church. This is for Christians. This is for the saints. Because I hear this too much. I hear this too much. And we need to study the word of God so we know what God teaches us. Listen, this is to the saints. According to the scriptures and my understanding of the scripture, there are no human individuals in heaven right now. Just understand me now, because I know some of you come to funerals and you know, and even when we're not at funerals, you say, "Yeah, Mama is in heaven now, Dad is in heaven, and cousin is heaven." Some people say, "Yeah, my dog is in heaven." We need to be more educated as Christians and grow in the grace and knowledge of God's word. And just because somebody else says something, you don't need to say it. And I say that in all the love that I have, because, see, listen, God has given us, let me just do this real quick. Go to Luke chapter 16, verse 22, Luke 16. According to my understanding, the only possible question mark there might be is when Jesus, I believe he said in Matthew 19 and verse 14, he says, "Suffer the children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." But I still don't believe that he's saying that the children are in heaven right now. But that's individuals with the type of humility, the type of humbleness. You know, kids, they forgive easy. He said that's the kind of mindset that's going to be in heaven. And so listen to Matthew 16:22. "Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels," so, underline to Abraham's bosom. It's a referral to where the spirit of Lazarus. Some of you know the story of the rich man, and I don't have time to read it all. You have to read some of this on your own. Rich man and Lazarus, and it says the poor man died, and that was Lazarus. He died, and he went to Abraham's bosom. Then it says, and the rich man also died and was buried. His body was buried, but you know, we have a body and a spirit. Our bodies decay, but our spirit yet lives. Everybody's spirit lives. It says, in Hades, I'm reading from the New American Translation, American Standard Translation. King James will say, in hell, he lifted up his eyes. So Lazarus goes to Abraham's bosom. The rich man goes to Hades. It's the Bible describes it as the place of departed spirits. In other words, our spirit goes to this Hadean word. It even uses the word hell. And don't misunderstand it now, because it's even the place that Jesus' spirit went when he died. How do you know that, Brother Gary? Go to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to do this quick because this is not my full lesson. Acts 2:24. You remember when Peter preached the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, and he preached Jesus. And Jesus crucified, and he was talking, and he gives a quote from David. He says, but God raised him up again. He's talking about Jesus. David is talking about Jesus. He says, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. You know, Jesus rose from the dead. The grave wasn't going to hold Jesus. It says, for David says of him, of Jesus, "I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand," that's it, talking about Jesus, "so that I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades," to hell. Jesus was in the Hadean world when he died on the cross. He went to the Hadean world. He didn't go to heaven where God is. You remember when Jesus was on the cross and he said this in Luke chapter 23, verse 43. He said to the thief, he looked to the thief and he said to him, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." See, Abraham's bosom is the same as paradise. Yes. See, listen to this now. He said he went to, Lazarus went to be in paradise. Now, In the Hadean world, it seems, according to the scripture, there are two departments. Now, you better catch this if you don't catch nothing else. In the Hadean world, there are two departments. There is paradise, and there is also a place of torment in the Hadean world. If I had time to read it, you read it on your own. Read Luke chapter. Let's see, Brother Gibson in here. We get Luke chapter 16. Brother Barry, I saw him. Brother Gibson, get Luke chapter 16 and verse number 26. Verse 26. Luke chapter 16 and verse 26. And read that. In the Hadean world, see, when we die, we can't change our faith. Nah. So when we die, we go into the Hadean world. The question is, are we going to be in paradise? Or are we going to be in the place of, read verse 26, Brother Bear.
And besides all this,
now see, the rich man died, and the rich man was in so much torment. He said, Lord, have mercy. Would you send Lazarus back to talk to my brothers? But that can't happen. Read, Brother Bear.
Between us
and you. He says, in this Hadean world, there is a great gulf that's what?
Fixed.
That's fixed. Read.
So that what?
So that they which would go from hence, from where I am, to what? To you?
Cannot. Neither can they pass to us.
Neither can they pass. See, when we die, our spirits go to the Hadean world. And our fate is sealed. We can't change nothing that we've done on this earth to anybody. If you haven't obeyed God while you're living, you can't do it when you die. You can't change anything at the final judgment. It is final. But it seems that we will have our thoughts and our memories and our consciousness, and we will know what state that we're in, but we still haven't been to the final judgment. But our spirits are in this Hadean world. And so when mama die, when cousin die, when your wife die, they don't go straight to heaven. They await in the scripture, we talked about it the last time. They await for that day. It is the day when all the nations will stand before God and receive their final sentence. Lord have mercy. So let's speak with knowledge, amen? Yeah, let's speak with truth when we're talking to folk. Yeah, and let's don't try to put everybody into heaven, because you can't do that anyway. Oh, we're talking Bible now. I know what our emotions saying. I know what we see on TV, but we need to go to the scriptures for this one. Oh, that mercy. If I had time, I'd expand a little bit more, but I need to move on. Now, if you wanted some more scripture, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19 talks about the departed spirit. And let me give you a couple more facts. Boy, it might take me another week to finish this. Listen, Jesus and God and the angels are in heaven, according to the scriptures. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven. Jesus died, he's not dying anymore. He's risen from the grave, and when he was on this earth on his final days, you read in Acts chapter 1, when he ascended up to heaven, and they looked up in the sky, and the angel said, why stand ye gazing in the sky? Because just like he went up, notice now, so we know heaven is up somewhere. I mean, we can say that according to the scripture. It's up somewhere. It's not the clouds. Heaven is above the clouds somewhere. It says now, but when he comes, the scripture says, the Lord will descend. That means he's coming down from heaven. The scripture says, with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. Then it says, it says, the dead in Christ will rise first. So we can deduct from the scriptures that the Hadean world is not up anywhere. It's down somewhere. Amen, somebody? You can chew on that for a moment if you want to. You can chill on that one for a moment. And it seems like to me, from my study, that it's down somewhere. I don't know if it's below the earth, but it's down. It's not up in heaven anywhere. It's not up in the sky somewhere. It says, but paradise is, it says, and you know, we talked about a couple of weeks ago that of that day, nobody knows that day. Matthew 24:36. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven know. Not even the Son knows. Jesus doesn't know when that day will be. Only the Father knows. This is talking about Bible facts that you don't have to watch a movie and they change things in the movie. You know, I went to see some, you so go see some of these spiritual movies. I'm like, that wasn't in the Bible. Just get your Bible out so we will know what the truth is. And when you're at a funeral and you hear somebody say, well, you know, I just thank God mama's up in heaven right now. Don't you go up there and say, no, they're not. Don't try to correct them, but you know in your heart and your mind what the Bible teaches. And you know what? You need to stop saying it if you know what's in the Bible. Amen. Yeah, now, you know, and you know, we can claim somebody's spirit is in paradise, and that we claim it all we want to, and that's where we hope all our relatives are, don't we? Yes, sir. Yeah, we want to hope that they're in paradise, but you still don't know for sure. Right. Amen. Yes, we hope to have some people that live godly lives, and we say, Lord, and it lifts us up to know that they live godly lives, because we know the Bible says, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, and we all have that hope. But we still need to leave it to God, don't we? Amen, 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 amen. I say, I can preach this loud and clear because I'm not at a funeral right now. You know, but you know, because people's hearts are hurting and you hear people saying, and then some people never have nothing, don't never come to church, don't never come to Bible class, you don't see them at nothing. And they come down here and say, well, that's all, I know he going to be all right because I know he knew God. That's why we preaching the gospel today while you living. Amen, somebody. And this word is supposed to prick your heart. And you'll find out, I mean, got to the final exam. You'll find out there is something that we must do in order to make heaven our home. Oh, my goodness. Let's see what time is. Okay, I'm good. Listen to this now. Now, according to the scripture, we're in Matthew 25. Now we at verse 34. The righteous will be judged first. Yeah, the righteous will be judged first according to the scripture. I love that. I love that. This is one time, church. This is one time you want to be first. Amen. I know why we on earth and we humble servants and we're not trying to be, you know, we're not trying to have a seat up on the front bench and we're not trying to be seen or trying to be, but this one time you want to be first. Yeah, it's one time you want to be first. You want to be first in line. I fly. I don't like that. I don't like to fly that much. But when you go to the airport, it's stressful. It's depending on what days you go on. But you know, you stand in the line at the airport, and you know they got this long line, and then all of a sudden you look over to your right or to your left, and some of these people they just be going right on. I'm like, who are they? And they had it. Some of you know they have the TSA pre-check. And I told myself, me and KB, we flew up to Little Rock. And I told myself, I said, you know what? We're going to fill out that application. We're going to get this TSA pre-check. You don't have to pull your shoes off. You don't have to pull your computer out your bag. And it just seemed like they just shoot on through the line. I said, and every now and then we get it haphazardly. They'll get it. You can go in there. But so I say, now that's how it be, because it's stressful waiting in this line. And now my knees be so bad, you standing in line, I be swapping on each side trying to stand up. Any of you, don't raise your hand. Any of you ever flown first class before? I tell you what, don't do it if you can't keep doing it. And you know what I mean if you fall first class. Because once you fly first class, boy, I tell you what, them coach seats, they look like they about that skinny. Yes, they do. Yeah, first class, oh, they treat you. Oh, my goodness. Mm. Verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right, this is one time you want to be on the Lord's right side. Yeah, he says, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. See, and you know, it's amazing how in this life, Jesus even said, you remember in Matthew 19, verse 30, he said, but many who are first will be last. And he says, and the last shall be first. Now, but don't misinterpret it. It didn't say all who are first will be last. God is righteous. He's not, see, you can, some people say, well, don't the Bible say rich people not going to go to heaven? The Bible don't say that. It says with difficulty, the rich man, because there's so many more. See, you got more temptation. When you got money, you can get, we learned that from Solomon. You got money, you can do anything your mind think of to do. Amen. But it's not saying that all rich people are going, but it's not saying that all those that are first, but there are going to be many individuals. That's what the scripture says. There are many individuals that are living in this world, and they have all of life's advantages, and they have first class, and they have the TSA pre-check, and they have a gated community, and they have first preference, and they can buy things, and they can do things first because they got the means. But the Bible says many that's first going to be last. Not because they had those advantages, it's because they just didn't obey God. And so that's why you need to get off your mind. You need to get out of your mind. You need to stop looking at folk and craving and envying and despising other folk and wishing, I wish I had. You don't need to wish nothing. All you need to wish is that you're right with God. Amen, somebody. Lord have mercy. I thank the Lord that God is not going to rank us according to the square feet in our houses. Amen, somebody. I thank the Lord that God is not going to rank us as to how many shoes we got in our closet. Oh, because some of us would get a high rank, wouldn't we? But some of us wouldn't. Yeah, but he says, yeah. And so many of the advantages in this life will not be advantaged at the judgment day. And then he goes on and he lists these activities. I might finish this. He lists the activities. And I've studied this and I've read this so many times. I want to make sure I understand what. And this is Jesus talking. This is coming from, you see, listen. Jesus gives us all of the questions and answers to the final exam. We need to hear this, church. See, really, the final exam is not a final exam. It's not. It's definitely not a pop quiz. You know, pop quiz, the teacher come in, okay, close your books today, class. We're going to have a pop quiz. Everybody, what? Church, Jesus, when Jesus was here, he left the questions and answers to our final exam. He told us everything that's going to be required of us. Notice this. He told us the most important things that's going to be required of us on the last day. He did that when he was here. And sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we miss it because I can tell we miss it. I include myself because sometimes we spend too much time arguing and talking about the things that's not most important. Yeah. And so he says, I was hungry. You gave me something. I'm going to read them all. He said, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. That Jesus, he says all these things. And it's like, you know, and it's like kind of like when we first read it. It's okay, that's pretty simple. What does that mean, Brother Gary? Well, One thing we can deduct from reading all of these, they are all actions. They all of them. Read them. I know some of you what some of you are thinking, but they are things that when we at judgment we can't go back and say, okay, I'm gonna do some of this. So Jesus said, they are all things. So when we get to judgment, if we make it to heaven, These are going, God, Jesus is going to be able to look in our life and see if we did these things. Well, Gary, are you saying that God is just, he's keeping a tally on what we're doing in order to get to heaven? Are you saying that? Is that what you're saying, Gary? Is that what you're saying? Because that, you know, that sounds like you're saying that works are going to save us. Well, let's see. Let me see if I can explain it a little bit better. Let me see if I can explain this a little bit better. Because, see, some of us, we got this mixed up a little bit. I know, see, were you thinking of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. That is the truth. By grace, Jesus came to the cross. He died for our sins when we didn't deserve it. Grace is unmerited favor. We didn't do anything to deserve Jesus coming and dying on the cross for our sins. That's the grace of God. Amen? Amen. And if we don't receive his grace, if we don't respond to his grace, then his grace has been, really didn't mean anything to us. God's grace is Romans 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, let's see if we can explain a little bit more. Okay. You know, one of the hardest persons to find employment is a person with a record. You know that's true. You know, a person that has a record because you have a record and companies won't hire you. They won't even take a chance on you. But every now and then, with diligence, with some perseverance, you find someone that's been in prison can find a good job. But it doesn't happen often. And when somebody takes a chance, somebody takes a chance on you, and they give a person a job that has a record, boy, that's some grace, isn't it? Yeah, that's grace. See, so grace, somebody took a chance on you and extended some grace. It might be because of a referral. Somebody referred you, but they gave you the job. That's grace. Okay? But when you get on that job, you got some responsibilities on that job. Amen? And you can take advantage of that grace and say, I'm grateful and thankful, and I'm going to do what this person tells me to do. I'm going to do it like they tell me to do it. I'm going to do exactly what they tell me to do, and I'm going to keep this job. Or you can do like some people do. They get a job, and they take it for granted and say, oh, he was so good to me, she was so good to me, and they half do the job. And guess what happened? They lose the job. Listen, we are gravely mistaken or deceived if we think our actions, no matter how negligent, no matter how lacking, have no bearing on our eternal abode in Christ Jesus. Now, what are you saying, Brother Gary? No works of any kind of merit. We can't score enough points to make it to heaven. Because we got too much wrong with us. We've sinned too much. Amen, church. Amen. So we can't score enough points. Say, well, yeah, I got more than you, and God gonna allow me into heaven. But don't confuse. See, don't confuse, as the scripture calls them, works of the law, these meritorious works with righteous works. Don't confuse it. Listen to Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Galatians 2, 16. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law, no flesh will be. See, under the law, they sacrificed animals. And under the law, they had to keep all of these holy days. They had meritorious work. They had special food that they had to eat. All of these holidays and these works. And many of the Pharisees, with their self-righteous self, they could do the laws, but their hearts were far from God. And those kind of works, we certainly would not count us points in the giving to heaven. But don't be confused. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5, 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed, may be rewarded. Notice this. For his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether it be That's what the Bible says. Yeah, what we're doing every day, God sees and knows what we as children of his are doing. In the book of Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are they. You know this passage. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now. Yes, said the Spirit, so that they may rest from their. King James would say their labors, their deeds. And then it says, and the deeds follow them. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, I know this is just Bible teaching, and a lot of times we all gonna be saved by God. You right. If we are saved, it's gonna be by God's grace. Without a doubt, none of us will not be saved by God's grace. But I got a question for all of us. Do you see what's on the final exam? Yeah, see, this ought to shake us up a little bit. This ought to shake us up a little bit. Because see, we read these and we thought, oh, that's not, you know, that's. Yeah. Now I'm not going to finish. Because I got another point to cover even before I talk about these actions. I haven't even gotten into the actions. But I got another point I need to make. And I know that will strike you the first part, because some of us know we've been lacking. Amen. 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 And this is not fussing. This is just teaching the Bible. Amen. See, because it's not our actions alone that's going to save us. I don't care how many we do. See, and Jesus, when he was on this earth, he said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father. No, he said, he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And then, you know, after that, let me read these passages. And I think this is going to be my final point. I'm going to finish the rest tonight. So everybody got to come back tonight. Listen to what it says. Many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? No, notice this now. This should take the see, some of us, we naive, and this is where there's confusion in the world, even those that may be watching right now, because this tells us that there are going to be some religious folks that's not going to make it to heaven. It says there are going to be some preachers who say, Lord, didn't we prophesy? Didn't we proclaim in your name? See, God know everybody. He know. See, I must say, God is the judge. God, see, you can see people and say, oh, she's so sweet and she might be the devil. You know, people can fool you. Some of us have been fooled. Some of us married. Oh, no, well, let me ask you. Somebody fool us. Amen. But when we stand before judgment, we're going to be naked. And I'm not talking about our bodies naked, but we will be naked before God. We can't hide nothing. And he says, not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, but he that does the will. And for you to get to heaven, you got to know the will of God. And the only way you know the will of God is through his word. Not what other people are saying. That's why you don't need to follow a man, a woman, nowhere if they're not following the word of God. And there are some preachers who have preached the word. Yes, sir. A part of the word. A false words. And they're going to stand before God. It's like if you read it and you read it in its full context. Because, see, I learned so much from studying this. See, because I, in my mind, I had that, you know, all of us are going to walk here and we're going to be before God, and God going to judge us one at a time. But you read the first part of the Matthew chapter 25. It says all the nations are going to be before God. And then there's going to be this separation. He's going to separate. He calls them the sheep from the goat. And the sheep are going to go in his right side. Now, you, don't call me no sheep. Call me a sheep. I'll be a sheep all day long. It's not talking about a real sheep. This one time, you better not be arguing about calling me, you know, sheep. You better be a sheep. But it's a separation. He's going to separate the sheep from the... See, listen to this, church. Listen to the saints. That's why I see for all the saints, it's going to be a righteous day. Because when you know the word of God, you know when he does the separation, when he puts you on the right side, you can almost start rejoicing. Because, yo, oh, no, wait a minute. Which side am I? Oh, yeah. Oh, don't you love studying the word of God? Yeah, so when you go on your right side, you know what? You know what else you're not going to be doing? You're going, I wonder if honey made it. And so he makes this separation. And it's like he pronounces, he judges the righteous first. According to the scripture, you read it all, he judges the righteous first. First, and you read that whole passage. I don't have time to read the full chapter this morning. But he judges them first. He says, come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit. He gives us this inheritance. But it seems like it's going to be some folk, when they recognize they're on the left side, they're going to be trying to have a discussion with God. They know their faith. And they start this discussion, as Jesus says, he says, and some will say, Lord, didn't we prophesy? And you know, some folk, they argue with everybody. And I know some of us, we can really argue. We got some good arguments and some good points. And we're trying to make a, but I tell you what, in judgment day, it's too late to make your point. And he says on that day, he says, some will say, prophesy in your name, and your name have cast out demons. He says, and in your name perform many miracles. And then I would declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. And then he qualifies, you who practice lawlessness, you who practice anything that transgresses, that's against my teaching. Oh, see, that's why some people get a little upset when we quote Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, there is one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord. There is one faith. What do you mean by one faith, Gary? There is one way. There is one system. There is one teaching that gets you into Jesus Christ. You can't teach it your way. And I teach it my way. We need to teach it God's way. That's why we extend the invitation every Lord's Day, so faith comes by and hearing by. See, in other words, our faith has to come from what God tells us to do. And, you know, and Peter on the day of Pentecost, when he preached the first gospel sermon and they heard the message about Jesus came and died and he's coming again. And they asked the question, what, brethren, what shall we do? He told them first, you got to repent of all your sins. At that point, when he asked that question, they now believe, they know that Jesus is the Christ. They actually make a confession. We believe that Jesus, it pricked our hearts. And we issue the same invitation every Lord's Day. He told them, repent. That means to change your mind about sin. And he said, and be baptized. And you have hundreds, you have thousands of individuals say, baptism is not necessary for you to be saved. Thousands of people teach that, and thousands believe it. And if you think you are saved, and you thought you were saved before you were baptized, you are not following the will of God. You are not following God's way, his only way. Because there is one way. And if you're here, and your salvation is in question, you need to do it God's way. Because you can't change this at judgment. That is one of the reasons why. Let me read this before I close. In Acts chapter 20, verse 30, listen to what the Bible says. Acts 20, 30. And from among you, and from among your own self, men will rise speaking perverse things, the Bible says, to draw away disciples after them. It would be easy for me to say, y'all come up here, let me pray for you right quick. Let me pray a prayer over you. I'm going to pray a sinner's prayer. Lord, forgive them of all of their sins. These righteous, these sincere individuals who want to be saved, and receive them into your kingdom. And Lord, I must thank you, Jesus, for saving them today. And I open my eyes and say, you saved. That's not Bible. I don't care how good it sounds. If you're watching by way of television, and that's the way you so-called receive your salvation, you did not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, you might believe in Jesus Christ, but you didn't do it God's way. And I don't care where you are. If you're watching this, you're close enough. You need to get somebody to bring you over here to be baptized into Jesus Christ. Into the Lord's church that you can read about in the Bible. And he said there is one body. The body is the church, Ephesians 1, 22, 23, Colossians 1, 18. The body is the church. The church is the body. And the scriptures say there is one body. And the Bible says Jesus is going to come back for his body. And judgment begins in the house of God. If you're not in the house of God, we know what side you're going to be on. According to the scriptures, with all the love that I have. And so, I need to stop. I'll finish the rest of the night. I try to do the rest of the night. God is good, isn't he? Yes. You're here today, you've heard the Savior's invitation. If you're here today, you need prayer, you need to come. We'll pray for you. The church will pray for you. We love God. We love his word. Lord, give us patience as we study your word, as we grow. We know that sometimes these lessons, they so serious because they are serious. This is one thing you need to get right. The Astros didn't win. The Texans play today. I don't know who's going to win. My alma mater, SMU, they lost their first game of the year this year. But you guess what? I'm going to be all right. We're going to be all right, right? All right. We wanted Astros to win, but look at, there are much worse things than the Astros. You're here today, you need to get this right today. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
In my heart, sometimes I ponder. As down life rolls, I wonder.
He is to a city over yonder, who have peace and love.